Good morning. I just want to apologize. I had a brit this morning. You know, it's a call from Albert Smedlich, which I have to go to the brit and then come here. So first I apologize for coming a bit late. Last week we started to discuss the union of bankruptcy. We spoke about a choiv, about being the yayish and a choiv. Pretty much we determined from many places came that there is no concept of yish and a choiv. There are certain isolated situations where there are, but the derech klal there is no yish and a choiv, and therefore that would usually, in most cases, not be a way to get out of paying a choiv. So as we continue to press ahead to try to figure out what's the halucha when it comes to the union of bankruptcy, I wanted to discuss a very important concept, and this year will be dedicated to the concept of minik hasoichrim. Minik hasoichrim means that if the industry, the business industry, has a certain accepted practice, so do you say that since that is the accepted practice in the industry, automatically that becomes the halucha? That's known to us as minik or minik hasoichrim. Now, what would be the main source for the concept of minik? So take a look at page number 2. There is a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us as follows: Hasoicha es hapayalim. Somebody hires workers. The omelahem, he makes a deal with them. Lahashkim ilaharis. I'm sorry, I didn't say it correctly. He tells them after. Not if he made a deal with them, that would be something else. But after he hired them, he says to them, Lahashkim Laharav, they should wake up early in the morning, they should come to work earlier than the standard accepted time that people come to work, or to stay late to work overtime. So Mukha Shahagi Shaloy Lahashkim Shaloy Laharav, if you're in a community where the minig is that everybody works a set time, and nobody comes early, nobody stays late, obviously accepted is a specific tnai that you're being hired on that condition. So either the shul, the koifan, you are not allowed to force the person, the worker, to stay longer. Looking should have you losing. The topic is okay, the minute is that you give lunch, you have to give lunch. What you have to give for lunch depends on the mini kamukim. And chayim v'chayim many different halukhas. Now, obviously, if you went and you specified beforehand that I'm hiring you and I'm paying you extra money and you're going to come to work early or you're going to stay late, so then obviously you're mechuyev, because then you made a tenai that we are not governed by the minig hasoichrim. But in general, the halacha will be that if you hire a person and even if you gave him a higher salary, you can't time it afterwards that I have a certain expectation from you, because there is a minik. And the Gemara says, he paid him more money than the regular worker. So he said, he can say to him, the reason you paid me extra money is because you expected me to do a better job for you. But it does not change the minik hasachim, yes? I want to focus solely on the subject of minik hasoichrim, and then Be'ezus Hashem will dedicate another shiur specifically to the topic of din v'machitza. Din v'machitza din is a very complex topic. We'll probably have to do about 3-4 shiur until we understand exactly when we say din v'machitza or when we don't say din v'machitza. There's a shita of the mechaber, there's a mu, the shah. We'll go through that in a future shiur. But I want to focus solely on the inyan of minik hasoichrim. So now we take a look at the Pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, take a look at this Mishnah in Shin Lamed Aleph, Hasoicha es hapayalim, V'omelem lahashkim el laharav, Mukum shahagi shaloi lahashkim, v'shaloi laharav, Eina yuchel lekoifan, you can't force them, Afila, now the Mechara Paskin, Afila ha'usuf al tchuram, even if you pay them extra money, even shaloi yitzme kain v'shas v'shas, but since you didn't make a specific tenai that I'm going to give you more money because you're going to do different than the minute I'm talking, so then you are obligated to follow the minig hasoichrim. Okay, now, so suddenly this introduces us to a very interesting thought. I mean, as far as we know, when you do business with another person, and you're both doing business here in America, and in America you're entitled to go bankrupt, so can we possibly say that there is a minig, you're governed by the minig hasoichrim, and even though al pi toira, you cannot be mevatel a choyev, but al pi choyev ha-medina, if the medina is, and that's the minig of the Tzachem. I don't think I want to take the Mega Tzachem. That would be a pretty bad way to go into business under the Mega Tzachem. You guys will go bankrupt. But it's the accepted business practice in certain situations. So should we say that there's a concept of Minit HaTzachem, that because of the Minit HaTzachem, we, our Pitoyer, would be obligated to honor a bankruptcy? And the obvious question would be that there's a bankruptcy proceeding, and a person settles and he gets in court 30 cents on a dollar. He had $1 million and he only recovered $300,000 of what was owed to him. So what does he do? As soon as he gets the $300,000, he goes into Bezin and he's Tevea, he's Chava for the other $700,000. So can he argue back that since there was a Minit HaTzachem, therefore I have just become Kutta, even though it's the bankruptcy L'Chayra is connected to Din HaTzayra? So that's the question. So let's go through many of the Inyunim of Minit HaTzachem, and then after we understand the subject of Minit HaTzachem well, at the end of our series of Shiurim of issues that there are in bankruptcy, we'll be able to go back and see if Minit HaTzachem actually applies. Okay, now, the Rivash says in Simon Tuf Ayin Hei. Now I'll just show you a few tshuvas which discuss the concept of Minit. The question here was, there was a chazan in a certain city, and the minit, the halukha that the Gemara tells us is that when it comes to mitzvah taxes, unlike today where there is no one that is exempt from taxes, in those times there was a specific amount of taxes that was imposed on the Yiddish community. The Jewish community had to pay a certain amount, and then they had people in the community that would assess everybody's value, and that's how they would pay the government their taxes. That's the old minig of how it works. What happened was that there were certain people that had exemptions. Who had exemptions not to pay taxes in those days? The Rabbunim. The Rabbunim, it depends which taxes, right? The taxes that were for the head tax they had to pay. But in those days, the taxes which were for Shmira, the Rabbunim had a Ptur. Why did they have a Ptur? Because the Gemara tells us that the Talmid HaChum, because of their Torah, they automatically have a Ptur. Those were the halachas years ago. Now, what happened was that there was a certain city where there was a chazan. And the chazan, when they came to collect the taxes, the chazan decided that he's like the rebbe. That's what the chazan decided. And the chazan is also supposed to from paying taxes. You know, the Velsa Zohar, the famous story that in the Simcha Torah, the brothers of the Shalatim in Nikolberg, the Haflu, was ruled in Frankfurt. And there was a bit of an enlightened city. And in his city, the chazan once approached the board of the Kehillah that he feels that he's entitled to a greater chaz than the rabbi is, because the chazan does more than the Luvah of the Kehillah does. So the Simcha, the Haflu said, that was the comment that the Haflu made when he heard that. But the point is, this chazan decided that he's in the same gather of the Ruv. So they said to him, look into the Gemara, there is no such concept. I'll be a look up. So he says, no, but there's a minig in this community that the chazan doesn't have to pay taxes. That's what he said. Okay, so they started to look into this minig. Now, obviously this is a bit more difficult, because how do you establish a minig? You'll have to go back and see what happened by the last few chazunim, and maybe there was one chazan who part of his pay package, they said, you know what, okay, we'll exempt you from taxes, but did a minig really become established? Remember what we said before, it's very easy to establish a minig. You see when every person in the community comes to work, so you know if it's a minig or not. Can you establish a minig in this type of a situation? So take a look at the reverse. The reverse on the first column on the right side first goes through all the halukas, and the reverse says that the alfi halukha, the chazan, is mechiyah to pay mitzvah. He has the obligation. And if you take a look at the bottom of the page, and he says that there's no tnai, so he says, okay, ima shatua, over in the bottom of the page, shemayaka shapaitim, okay, shapaitim chirusa, are going to the second page, to the second side, ve'elas, ve'im tevon isbarat edvura, elas shatachri yisda. He says, let's put everything aside, and there was no specific commitment to this person. You've been duly schirs payalim when it comes to hiring workers. There's a reason the Rosh is happening when it comes to workers. Payalim, you need to follow the minik hamadina.
like we learned in our Mishnah that we just quoted, Mokshon HaGayus, and Yuzan, Lutzap, and Yisikya, Hakom Kaminik HaMadina. Now, I want you to listen to these words of the Ravash, because the Ravash writes very powerful words. V'ominen Allah the Yishalmi. The Yishalmi says on this Mishnah that we just learned, Zoytaner, from here we see, Minik Mevatel Halucha, that a minik can be Mevatel a Halucha. So the famous quote that everybody says, that a minik is Mevatel a Halucha, the source is a Yishalmi on this Mishnah. Okay, now, if it isn't there, Gamkin Yishalim, the minik here, so let's use the minik here, then yes, we hear minik Shekoyim Dama Chazunim, Gamse Al Das Kei Mishnah. So then that's the condition of how he retired. The inlet came. If, now again, the Rebbe says another important point. If there's a minute in the community, and you and your deal want to be excluded from the minute, you don't want to be governed by the regular minute Hamadina, then when you hire a person, or you go into a deal, you must specify, we'll do this deal, but on the condition that you can't go back home. That's the way you'll have to structure the deal beforehand. In the Kolmokim, but then the Rebbe says, in the Kolmokim, there is a going there, so Shiyah Minik Bure with Tur. You have to have a real established minute. You can't just say that the previous cousin or two didn't get paid. In Batkur Takul, either it has to be that the call met and they agreed that this should be the minute. Oish Nahagi came in Shulam Kadmahir. It's been a minute for many years. But Nahagi Ludnau Pia Minik Ahi, the Vaizumi Luminik Payalim. He says you can't compare this to our Mishnah. Shekama Payalim is Kur Machol Yoim. Workers get hired every day. So you can figure out what the minute by Payalim is quite easily. So therefore, you can see, look, Eich Mehagim. Abel, Bishkura Chazim, Shereim Zayir, Ki Yim Chazim Echad, Eich Yikur a Minik, how you ever going to call that a Minik? Now, Shalom, Yishol Yimach, Bechazim Echad, a Shnaim. If they didn't collect taxes on one or two Chazunim, so you're going to say that became the Minik, that is a Duvid Tzmiya, that you can actually say that, except if it's Yidiyah, and it's Yidiyah in the ear. So now, the Yavosh says, of course, there's a concept of Minik, and Minig Asasham is Mavatul Din, that's what he writes, Mavatul Aluka, he quotes that from the Yishalmi, but he says a Minig needs to be a real Minig. Now, just if you want to see where there is a concept that a Minig can actually be Mavatul a Haluka, it's interesting, he says Minig, Yishalmi says on this Mishnah, Minig is Mavatul Haluka. If we think about it, this is not really a Haluka. Come early to work, come late to work, stay early, stay late, that is not a specific halacha. Where do you find that you can have a minig that's actually mevatel halacha? So if you turn over the page to page number 3, you'll see a shivra which is quoted from the Marik. And the Marik had a situation, which I'm not going to go into the halacha shivra because there's no time for it now, and it's not really negated to our shir, but there's a big machloikis we shown in the Sefer Yehomis, when you have a situation that the person can't or won't do yivim for whatever reason, and do you have the ability to do kfiya to force him to give chalitza or not? It's a big machlokes we show them. It's not clear how we pass him in that machlokes we show them. So the Marik writes in his tshuva that even though it's machlokes we show them, and it was not clear in that community what the aloha is, since it became the minute, it's interesting, Marik writes that was able to become a minute. Since it became the minig in that community, it was the minig for many years, that if such a shayla ever came up, they did kviya in order to do a chalitza, so the halacha is that the minig overrides the din, and even if you're concerned that the pastor like the Madom and it says that you're not allowed to do chalitza, since there is an established minig v'sikin, we follow the minig. Now, he writes in this very beautiful shiva, the Malik writes, that there's a nachkemina between a minig that's mevatel din and a regular minig hatsachim. He says a regular minig, which is mevatel, which is a minig hatsachim, it becomes the established practice, so that's the way we follow the, that's how we go to marriage, when it comes to payalim, that's what everybody does with their payalim, so you do the same. But he says that when it comes to a minig that's actually mevatel din, then you need to see that it's a very old minute, that it's a minute to seek him, and that it's an established minute, and that's the only way you can, in that case, be mevatel the din. I just, the next shiva, which is on page number 4, which if you want to read, it happens to be an interesting shiva. I'm not going to go through it, but the topic discussed in the shiva is a very interesting topic. There was a certain woman that was a very tough woman. The Chavisir had such a shiva. And since she was so tough, she had a problem
that every time she tried to hire a housekeeper, the housekeeper couldn't work by her because she worked her workers too heavily and they couldn't handle the job by this woman. That's the shayla which the Chassidim threw ahead. And then she worked by a certain woman. She left. So there's a very famous discussion in Poyalim. If a worker leaves in the middle of a job and you have certain items that belong to them, can you grab their items and hire somebody else at a more expensive price and use her chafetim that she left in your house for payment or not? So the question is, when she left, it was a duvah ha'ovid. So the Chavisua wants to say, firstly, that of course, not having a housekeeper at home is a duvah ha'ovid. I'm sure you all know why. So I don't have to go into that discussion. The emphasis is a move, and it's a, the truth is, usually, a duvah ha'ovid, when it comes to a worker, is only, for example, I hire an attorney to do some work for me on something which is due in court in a week from now. So if he leaves, of course, it's a duvah ha'ovid. But the remove brings down, and the why it is so, that if a person is a businessman, and he has a housekeeper that runs his house, and suddenly the next morning the housekeeper leaves and can't go to work, that also is considered a duva ha'ovid. This is a big shy on the Piskechiva. Does the remove mean a real duva ha'ovid that you can actually collect based on that, or does it mean only a duva ha'ovid that the person has no right to leave, because regular Poyalim are not obligated to stay by you forever because they're exempt under the Pusik, Kizib and Ayasul Mahudim. The workers are allowed to walk out whenever they want, even if they make a contract that they're going to stay for a certain amount of time. This is an Akamina between Kizib Poyalim, this is a discussion of its own. So the Chavitua was asked that this woman came to work, this housekeeper came to work for the snuff woman, and she left because it was too difficult to work there. So the Chavisua declared, do you say that who went and was Mishana from the minute of the workers? Is it the housekeeper or is it the Balabayas, the woman? Do you have a right to work your workers literally to the bone to give them that really tough time? And then what happened was that she was really tough on this woman. You see the truth, not only she really made her work very hard, but she lacked the bread basket, so she had no food available, she had to come to her balabayas for food. It's quite entertaining, Shula, what this woman did to the worker. But at the end, we have a few passages as follows. He says, it depends. He says, the answer to this question depends on the minhag hamadina. You have to ask the other women, what do they usually do when they have somebody working for them? Do they work them this way, that they have to, still be seized on a shumma? Or, on the other hand, are you easy on your workers? And he says, whatever the answer to that question is, that becomes a minhag hamadina. Go ahead.
I actually need to know
more. Right.
Right.
But it could be just taking it on a tanai, which we discussed earlier, that if you ever made a tanai, so then it's excluded. It doesn't go under the minhag hamadina.
So, does she know what she demanded?
What's this? It's a three-page shuv. I only took certain excerpts of the shuv that they're in, but I just wanted to show you that as we start to go through shivas throughout all the generations, from the Gemara to the Rishonim to the Achronim, everybody dealt with the concept of minhag. Nobody disregarded minhag, and it's something that we in Halukha need to deal with. Now I want to show you a very interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein had the following question. He said, what happens? Listen to this, it's the fascinating question Rav Moshe asked. We do business here in America, and we never specified any specific tonight, we didn't make any deal. Rav Moshe doesn't step further. And there's no minhag hatzachim, let's call it. But there's a law. The law tells you that this is the way it should be done. Now, do you have to, again, of course, our discussion here is according to the Torah, the discussion. Everybody has to follow the law. That's not our discussion. I think if we live in America, we have to follow the American law. But we're discussing here from an intellectual point of view, mitzad ha-Torah is a person obligated to follow the din of the machitza. And we said we'll have another shiur on that. And it's sometimes yes, sometimes not. Depends what the issue is. Mitzad ha-Torah. And all the nebinas that we've been through throughout the years. But Rav Moshe asks a different question. Do we now have an obligation to follow the law? Because since that's the law, so that's the minute. In other words, when you do business in America, and there's a law in America that this is the way this should be done, so, and you didn't speak about it, so the minute is that people follow the law. So, l'chol Rav Moshe Tainus, that there should be a minute Hasachim that a din of the machisa should become the minik Hasachim. Take a look at the Shiva on page number 5.
The Moshe writes, he first, in the right paragraph, he discusses the concept of minik amadina. And then if you take a look at the, I'll just read quickly, Bahaga Askachol, the Buri Pusha, Shekol Ali Adim Matsim, the minik amadina. And he discusses the few cases that are mentioned in our Mishnah. So he says, the Chedoy Me'efok Shirep Al Piyah Minig Al Piyah Chachmei Torah, the Rugim don't have to be created through Chachmei Torah, the Gamach Leah Al Piyah Yidim Dachter, the Afshin He is the Hanokhrim, even if the Goyim has such a Minig, according to your Moshe says. So the Minig Asafen has to be amongst Yidim? Of course not. Minig Asafen can be established amongst Goyim. Very good Tibur. The Stomach, the Piyah Minig, the Adalt of the Minig Yidim. Next, it is the Stomach. Next, he pushes the Tanag. And the Moshe also adds a very important point, and listen to this point, the Chantzayfer writes the same way, I'll show soon that the Nesidus disagrees. The Moshe's understanding is, why do we need to honor Minig, and the Chantzayfer says the same thing, we need to honor Minig because when I do business with another person here in America, and since that's the Minig HaMedina, it becomes like a Tanai that we're doing business, I'll dash this Tanai. That's how Rabbi Moshe explains it, and I'll show soon that Chantzayfer explains it the same way. The Nesidus has a different explanation. וכן היא, בניון המחירה, מהי בכלל המחר, שאף שאיכת דינים קביעים בפרקי המחירה ובבאצה, he says, however, we find that there's a concept of minute. And if רואי פרש ואי אין היגי, נסדן נידן בדין התוידה בסלומק המינית. Now look at the second column, the left side. ולכן, therefore, ועדה לגולה דין המלכת, the law of the land, is not left, ממינית, שבסלומה היא כאיס נעדת את דין המלכת. The Masumah is that the people went into the deal al das the din hamalchus. Okay, now how are we going to figure out? So then we have a question. So if it's totally accurate what I just said, so then every din hamalchus you should be obligated because of the din hamalchus. So I'll leave that discussion for the din hamalchus and din hashir what the exceptions are. The culture should in having to din hamadina. The mimsa shagam a minik came the next is an oreid because the peichat man. That was a case over a rental when the person had to leave. So you see how powerful the concept of mimic is. You take a look at the further down the page, Reshai and Beit, there are halukhas. Take a look at the second Mechaba, Tim and Yud Zayin. There are many people are traveling on a boat, and suddenly there's a storm, and you need to throw off cargo from the boat in order to make the boat lighter. So there's a Shaila in the Gemara. Afterwards, you just take the 20 containers on the boat, you throw off 10 containers. So the halukha is that the people need to split the expenses equally. So the Gemara has a shayla, how do you figure it out? You figure it out based on the weight that the people had on the boat, because if you had a greater weight, so you were causing the boat to sink, or you figure it out based on the value of the contents. Right? So the Mechaber says, take a look at Siki Zayin. Finish Shai from Alech of the Yom, Bum the Lel Nachshul Saiva, a Nachshul, a wave comes to sink the boat, the Yitzhidi Yumatsua, you lighten the weight of the boat, Mechashim Usi Matsua, you go based on weight. Then Mechashim Usi Mumman, you don't go on value. But Al Mishana Miminig Hasakonim, however, you cannot be Mishana from the Minig Hasakonim. The bottom line Hamusa is, what is the Minig of the people that do shipping, and they have such a situation, what do they usually do? Now, I'm not going to go through this question. If you take a look at page 67, you can do it on your own time, because it's a beautiful discussion. What happens when you have a minig, but it's a minig guria, which means it's a minig that doesn't really make sense, or it's a minig, like if it's the Shiva quote, sort of goes against the theme of the Torah. What happens to those types of mahogim? Totally illogical mahogim. So then already, very often you can waive the minute, except, it's a machloket, some say you can't waive it even then, but then already there are some exceptions to the minute. There has to be a really strong minute and an excessive minute in order to have an obligation to honor the minute. Just take a look, go to page, a couple of pages further, it's page number 8 of the story, it's a specific story, and the next page you'll see the machado. I want to show you that minute becomes the accepted halukha in sales and acquisitions in Kinyonim. You see the same concept. After page number 8, there are two pages. It's Simon Reish Aleph, which is Din Roshim Alachuvish Matakeya Kapoy, right? And everybody's going to, you know, whether in the diamond business, so how do you make a king in the diamond industry?
a handshake, right? Mazel lebrocha. So does that become a real kinyan or not? Take a look at Sif Aleph towards the end, on the second page of the Shulchan Aruch. In those days, there was a kinyan called the kinyan of Tetimta. Tetimta means as follows. Tetimta means that the buyer would take a marker and make a roshim. He was making markings on the item that he was buying, on the merchandise he was buying. And once he made that mark on the roshim, on the item, the Gemara says he has a real kinyan. Now, if you go according to the Torah, the Archinulim, you need to do Tessa, Meshusa, whichever kinyan is necessary to do, but it doesn't make a difference. Why doesn't it make a difference? Because since that was the Minhag HaMedina, to be kind of because of a Roshim, that became the kinyan of the city. So take a look at the Mechaber. The Mechaber at the end says, the Minhag HaMedina Yi Sheyitna HaRoshim Kinyan Guma. If the Minhag HaMedina is that the Roshim should be kind of a kinyan guma, nikna ha-mekah, then the kinyan, you are kind of the mekah, ve'ein echa v'en yuchalach, so boy, nobody can be kosher anymore. That's the big question. So what do you do with contracts, right? And you do contracts versus the halacha. It's a complicated question. There's a big disagreement how to answer the question, that she is in the Mashan and others. It's just too broad of a question for me to answer right now, but it's a very important question. I'm just first introducing that Minhag HaSochem is something which you really need to take seriously. I show what Ramesh writes on Minhag HaSochem, which would seem to indicate that what you said is correct. But obviously I'm going to have to discuss that there are certain exceptions. But you see this as a Kenyan called a Kenyan of Sikinsim. And on the next page, on page number 11, I bought from the Christi Choshen, who's Rav Lau, and I show where Rav Lau writes. If you take a look, he says that the Indian din Satimta, in page 11, the second paragraph, regarding the look of Satimta, near the Hochan Achaminik HaSochem, by the Indian, he passed into Lucha Lamasa, he found the Minik HaSochem, the Hainu Bechol Mitzvah of Femin Hogai, in every single industry based on the industry practices. So the diamond dealers have a certain way of making a kinyunim. That doesn't apply to people that are in a different industry. Now, there's absolutely, quote, a fascinating truth of some sort. And the truth is, I'll just take a few minutes because it's kedai to understand this halacha very well. What is the pshat? Why does minhag work? Let's try to understand why the minhag actually works. The Chamsaifa has a shiva. With a Chamsaifa paskin, that if you do a kinyan, the Timta, on a duva shaloi bula oilam, the Chamsaifa paskin, that it is considered a kinyan. That's what the Chamsaifa paskin. And it's the Pelos Usim. But the Kireg strongly disagrees. And the Kireg says that if you do a kinyan on a duva shaloi bula oilam, it's not a kinyan. In other words, the way that the Kireg understands, the Timta is a kinyan. But it doesn't, it's not any better than any of the other kinyunim. That's what the Kiveg understands. No, Satimta will replace Kesef. So if Satimta replaces Kesef, that is as good as Kesef can be. If Kesef won't be kind of the Shweigel Island, neither will Satimta be kind of the Shweigel Island. That's the sheet of the Kiveg. Same as Salo, the Samsoifa. But the Samsoifa says no. The Samsoifa says that Satimta will work even on the Shweigel Island. That's the logic of the Samsoifa. If you want to see the logic, it's on page number 11. It's a short piece of Samsoifa that I quoted, and he says it follows. The Samsoifa says, why does the Tinsha work? The king on its own doesn't work. But what's the Teres? It becomes a Tanai. It's the Minhag HaSochem. So Samsoifa says, if a Tanai can create a Tinsha, shouldn't a Tanai be able to create it? You should become a Tinsha. Not to me. That's what the Samsoifa basically says. And the Samsoifa has a few very interesting cases. The Samsoifa has a case. In those days, they used to promise the person, where kings to Timta, that you can be a loyal by my son's bridge. The Chamsaifa says that it depends. If the child was born already, then the kinyan works. Even though the bridge is a Dovish Loy Baloyalam, he says. Why? Because that was the minhag. But if the child wasn't born yet, then there was no such minhag. And it goes further. It's a very fascinating discussion. If you read, there's some very beautiful shulas which are written, which I have, if you continue later, in this booklet. There is a machloket between the Nesivis and between the Chamsaifa, if a kinyan drabunan works for a kinyan deraisa. I'm sorry, I didn't say it correctly. A kinyan drabunan works for a kinyan deraisa, but that's the pashtis, nikoyev, of Hefke Bezdin, Hefke.
The Samsaita comes along, the Samsaita says no. He says the kinyan of Satimsa does not work. It's Koyach. The kinyan of Satimsa does not work. Mikoyach Sedina the Machisa Dina. But rather, I'm sorry, the kinyan of Satimsa, he writes, does not work Mikoyach Hefka Bezin Hefka, but rather it works Mikoyach Tanai. And therefore the Samsaita wants to argue that the kinyan of Satimsa is not a kinyan of Rabbonon, but rather it's a kinyan of Oraisa. The Nesiva says that Satimsa is a kinyan of Rabbonon. The Samsaita says Satimsa is a kinyan of Oraisa. What are the Nachkeminis? The Samsaita has two shivas. He says, firstly, if you do the kinyan of Satimsa, then you Mekadosh HaIsha. If you say that the kinyan of Oraisa to be Mekadosh HaIsha, that's question number one. Then the Samsaita has a discussion. If a person went and did a kinyan satimsa to sell an animal to a goy, and then the animal had a bechor. So is the kedushas bechor on the baby of the animal or not? So the Samsaita says, as far as I'm concerned, these kinyanim are real kinyan deraisa. The Samsaita thinks many rayas that even if it's a kinyan derabunan, it should work too. He tells you, that's kebez and hefta, so it should work even for a kinyan deraisa. But the Samsaita says differently. It says satimsa becomes a tnai, and if something's a tnai, that automatically becomes the halucha, because the mini can become a tanai. Two people do business together with each other. It's a manas kind that they do business. If I do business with you here in America, there's an unspoken condition of some place that explains that we make that we're going to follow the law. Or the mini, rather. We're going to follow the mini. That's what the concept is. So how does the tanai help when there's no kinyan? But the honest is that if you give me some from matona and you relinquish your rights, then even without a kinyan should technically become mine. So that would be the possible answer to your question. But there are certain cases where I couldn't answer that. In fact, that question bothers me a bit. So I'm going to have to look a little bit more carefully in answering that specific question. Okay, so that's the same. Next week we'll start to go through the concept of the bankruptcy historically. There's a bankruptcy written up already by the Mashat in the year 1590, and we'll start to go through throughout the ages how the Rabbonim dealt with bankruptcies, and we'll see which of these halachas we actually apply.